Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome in to Gojo and Golic. I am Mike Golic Sr. Gojo not here this morning. Claudio Bellafato hanging out in Boston in the DraftKings studios with us. And filling in for my son would be one Jason Fitz of Yahoo Sports. He's a Yahoo Sports host slash analyst, adding that to his title. Also Fox Sports Radio host as well. So he will be joining today. We appreciate anybody checking us out on the DraftKings Network. Also, Best of Gojo and Golic for an hour from noon to 1, wherever you catch VSiN Radio. And if you want to get us wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, rate, review, give us that great review. We appreciate it. If you don't, we don't want to know about it. So let's try and keep it all positive. That's the way we like it. I got a great show for you today as we head into the weekend. We got a whole another wonderful sport starting their playoffs this weekend. Claudia, what do we got on tap for this morning?
Well, Senior, before we get to that, I just have to say how disappointed I am that Gojo's not here, because I listened to some of that T-Swift album, which I know we're going to get into, but the fact that he's not here pains my soul. We are going to talk some NBA, though, of course, because 8 is enough. 2 final seats up for grabs tonight in the NBA. And how about some draft drama, quarterback group visits, and potential blockbuster trades? And let's do that. Hockey. Sarah Sivian joins us for a playoff preview. Senior, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it is. We got a ton going on. Get a ton of information out there. Have some fun as well. But Fitz, and for those that may not know Jason and I and my son Mike, quite honestly, have all worked together for years at ESPN. We've been teammates a long time. And while I said Jason is a slashy at Yahoo Sports, being a host and an analyst, also a slashy in his career. He was in the sports media now, been doing it for years. But, you know, in kind of relation to the Taylor Swift thing, he was the fiddle player in the band Perry. He was also the band director for the band Perry as well. So he has spent years in the music industry. And Fitz, I've always told Mike, or told everybody, you and Mike, or Mike and I, and you would have discussions about the music world. And it was always fascinating when you would take us inside. So first off, thanks for jumping in on the show. But second, we know the greatness now of Taylor Swift. So go back to your years before we get into sports, when you were in the music industry, Tortured Poets Department. She released 17 songs last night at midnight. And then, oh, by the way, 2 hours later at 2 a.m., she released 17 more songs. So a double album. She is just, she is it right now. Kind of compare that, Jason, to when you were in this industry and just what she means to it now.
Well, look, first and foremost, a shout out to my buddy Matt, Taylor's drummer, one of my best friends out there on this. And Matt and I, so Matt doesn't really like to sit down and do coffee. He likes to go for hikes. So before the last leg of the tour, we went on a hike on our Walk Wednesday. And I told him, dude, you're the drummer on the Michael Jackson of this generation. Love it or hate it, no matter what anybody thinks of the music, the way people fawn to the stadium, the way people stand outside just to listen to soundcheck, the fact that she has to fake where she's going and book multiple hotels because you can't be in any one spot. You got to worry about people being everywhere. Like, it's bigger than a music. It's a cultural phenomenon. But Mike, this is sort of in the weeds, but like the interesting thing that you pointed out is what, 17 songs and 17, correct my math here, that's 34, I think. The biggest difference in the streaming world versus the record world, like, because look, my last show with the band Perry was in 2016. So it's not like it's that long ago, but in that amount of time, streaming is taking over everything. So it used to be, you would record songs, you turn them into your record label will decide which one should and shouldn't be released. You get through this big argument and you'd end up with like the best 12. And then every once in a while, two or three extra songs would make the like extra, you know, like when we were younger, Mike, you could go out and get like extended editions of records and things like that. That was a special thing. But this mirrors a little of what we saw with Beyonce. I personally think 34 songs at once is too much. Like there is some quality in being edited. Like if you got 34 songs, you probably only have 17 that should have made a record. Like I know everybody's going to say it's perfect, all these things, but like to me, you space these things out, you edit yourself. It's easier than ever to put out music right now, which is beautiful and glorious, and I love it as a musician. But also, I think there was a process even 5-6 years ago of editing that happened. 34 songs is a lot for me. I don't know that I could listen to 34 in one setting, no matter who the artist is, no matter how much you like them.
Thank you.
Claudia, your thoughts
so
on that?
So I'm not the only one. I just wanted to say, everybody keeps giving me, like, backlash for giving the album backlash. Not, she is so talented. Like, trust me, to be able to have the following that she does is amazing. So much respect to her. She has some absolute bangers that I used to cry to and jam out when I was younger. My issue, though, is the reason that people don't like baseball is there are too many damn games. The reason people love football is that we always want more. We're always waiting for the small amount of games. So I agree with you, Fitz. I think she probably should have just released this one album. Everybody would have been happy with it. Even wait a month later, people would have jumped at it. They're going to love what she does regardless, but I just don't understand that tactic. And also really just the fandom to the level that it's at scares me a little bit. I'm not going to get much further into that because I'm not going to disrespect the album. I just
you are
don't,
scared.
I just
you are scared of Swifties. That's I'm the so good. You are a fear.
I am so scared. No, like I'm scared. So that's where I'm going to end it. She's great. Everybody enjoy the album.
Yeah. It's like you don't want to say anything about Beyonce either. You don't want that beehive coming after you. No. But I think, and we'll get more into this album a little later, a little more of a breakdown. But one thing I think is the last thing you said, Claudia, changes everything. She has so many fans that they're going to grab whatever she does. Mm-hmm. So while Fitz, you gave what you thought, and I think that's kind of the industry thought, she's above all that. There are some that are just greater than the rules, right? She can get away with 34 songs because it's going to be downloaded by millions and millions and millions of people, including my son, who, you know, Mike, as you mentioned, Claudia, not here this morning. He's actually at Chris Long's charity golf tournament in Charlottesville, Virginia, so doing a very cool thing. And I got a note about that. That's unbelievable because Jason Kelsey is there. But Mike's text last night at the 2 a.m. part, because at the midnight, you had the 17-song release, and then 2 a.m., I mentioned another 17 songs. Mike's first line, I'm going to throw up. I mean, my God, I mean, the dude is
Mike,
such a Swiftie.
Like, look,
the drama.
Just two things. Number one, from my age, I remember when Guns N' Roses put out Use Your Illusion Volume 1 and Volume 2 at the same time. And I remember even then, as a kid, listening to these two records thinking, look, this is great, but I wish they just made one great record instead of two pretty good records. That's point number one. And point number two, I will say this as gently as I can, because let's face it, we like being employed. You can do the hibbity-dibbity, and a day later you want to do the hibbity-dibbity again. But if you're doing the hibbity-dibbity and it goes for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, eventually you're even tired of doing the hibbity-dibbity, right? Like, you need a break. 17 songs, give me a break, give me 17 more. And I mean more than an hour and a half. I need, like, days, weeks, months. Like, I just needed a break. I needed a hibbity-dibbity break. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. All I'm going to say as we get turned to football or turned to basketball is, if you can do the hibbity dibbity 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 for hours, you're going to get a contract to make movies, and you don't have to worry about anything else. So, yeah.
You know, Fitz, I don't even know how you said it that many times. From the hibbity dibbity to the NBA playoffs, no one can say it wasn't a battle, because several injuries, key injuries already. And just in the play-in tournament, Jimmy Butler out for weeks with an MCL. Zion ruled out with a hamstring. So, of course, these are the last elimination. Then the actual NBA playoffs will start. The Heat are 1.5-point favorites at home against the Bulls. Pelicans plus 1.5, so home dogs against the Kings, again, without Zion. So the Heat still a slight favorite without Jimmy. And I know we've talked about this game, both games, a little bit, Senior. So, Fitz, let me go to you first. Which team do you think is going to feel the loss a little bit more?
Well, I think realistically, I don't put any weight in the Heat being able to get anything done without Jimmy. But when you talk about feel the loss, it's got to be the Pelicans. And the reason the Pelicans feel the loss more to me is because, A, look at how good they were against the Lakers with Zion on the floor. But also, look at how well they played over the course of the last month and a half, Mike, right? Like, if you look at the course of how the Pelicans were playing versus where this season is likely to come crashing down, it has to feel like a disappointment, because they played so well coming into it that you thought, man, if they could get into the playoffs instead of the play-in, maybe they'd have a chance. And then to have all of it end the way that everybody hates to have things end with Zion, yet another injury, that's why this feels like it's just sort of an epic disaster for the Pelicans. So they feel the loss more because of where they were, but also because of the way this is going to end up going down, where yet again, you got to look at it and say, even in a year where Zion was healthy, Zion's health is still an issue.
Yeah, and they have to play a better team in Sacramento than Miami does in Chicago. Chicago, what, 10 games or whatever they were, 8 games under 500. And look what Miami did against Philadelphia, made that a 1-point game. And I know Jimmy Butler was in the game, but he wasn't really a factor. By the time he got hurt, Fitz, after that, he was 2 of 4, and then he went like 3 of 12 or 3 of 14 after that. So he wasn't a big factor in the game, yet that team was still in the game. Now, on the other side of that, we have to remember that the Pelicans, I believe, beat the Kings all 5 times this year.
Yep.
Without Zion, I do think it's going to be a tough road to climb. Either way, the winners will get the 1 seed. So the winners in the East are going to get Boston. The winners in the West are going to get Oklahoma City. There are those that wonder, because whoever gets Oklahoma City, could this be a positive? And let's also bring back, as just a year ago, you don't got to go far back. Well, the play-in doesn't go too far back either. Miami was in this exact same position last year. Lost the 7-8 game, played in the 9-10 game, won that, got to be the 8 seed, and ended up in the finals. So they have just gone down this. This is like Fitz, the wild card team with the 9-7 record back when there were 16 games, like the Giants, making it all the way to the Super Bowl. So Miami's not going to do it this year. I'm just saying, you know, it's a possibility to happen because Butler's going to be out for weeks. But do you give, I mean, Zion, forget, let's throw Miami. Let's be realistic and throw Miami out of this if Jimmy Butler's going to be out for weeks.
Well, Senior, but hold on.
Do you give the winner?
Quick, you want to just throw the Heat out? Because let's think about this, right? I see a reason why. I'm thinking that Coby White dropping 42 probably is baked into this line, and that's probably the reason that the Heat are slight favorites. I mean, Hero, we know that he can get off shooting. Adebayo, I think they have enough pieces up against a team where they're going to have DeRozan pop off, but you would think the defense will be able to adjust. They're not going to worry about Coby White. I don't know. Maybe I'm being dramatic and I'm a little scarred because Celtics fan by this Heat squad, but I don't think we should just throw them out. I just don't.
I didn't specify that well enough. I didn't mean the game tonight. Okay. I meant them as an 8 seed if they win this game in beating Boston, the first seed. Okay. I said, let's throw them out for that. They're not beating Boston without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So my question, Jason, is, to Sacramento if they I think Zion will be back quicker than Jimmy Butler. So if the Pelicans could pull this game off and they do have Zion, do either Sacramento or the Pelicans have a chance in your mind against OKC? Just because we're not used to seeing OKC in this position.
Yeah, I want to say no, but I think that there's a better chance. Like, to your point, Mike, clearly all the Heat are doing is delaying the inevitable death. Right. I don't care what they did last year. This is a Celtics team that is far better than they were last year right now. This is a Heat team that is just banged up in every possible way and not as good. So if they end up taking on Boston, congratulations. All you did was survive the first fight to then get your butt kicked in the second one. To the Kings-Pelicans point, the Kings obviously have had a disappointing season for a lot of reasons. The Pelicans, I'll go back to over the course of the last 2 months of the season, have shown that when Zion is playing well and they have the sort of beef up front to handle things, I think they could at least make it interesting. I don't think either of those teams beat OKC, but I think the Pelicans could steal a couple of games, right? Like, so that gives us at least a more interesting series if Zion is back and if Zion's 100% and if Zion's healthy. I mean, just think about what we saw from Zion against the Lakers with everything on the line in that game, right? So I feel like there is some sort of proof here that the Pelicans can be disruptors. But I also think that that's a little disrespectful to OKC. I mean, at the end of the day, we are presuming the West is going to be this wild thing of unpredictability, yeah, and the East is just going to be dominant. So maybe that plays into the bias in my mindset on it. But I feel like the Pelicans could at least give a better challenge to Oklahoma City than the Heat could give to the Celtics, which is just going to be disgusting.
Well, again, what Oklahoma City did with the young team that they did to be number one has been impressive. Mike and I talked about this the other day. I want to get your thoughts on it before I ask a playoff question. Do you think the roster of the big three in Golden State, do you think that's over now that Klay Thompson is a free agent? They bring him back?
I think it should be over. That's the biggest thing to me, like the definition of insanity. I know we all want it to continue because we loved it before, but what it was before is not what it is now. I'm wearing everybody out with music analogies, but I use this one all the time. Like, I don't go see Guns N' Roses now because I don't want to see Fat Axel. Like, I don't need a lot of Axl Rose crammed into a little leather pants, trying to work his way around on stage. He might have a good note here. There we're like, yeah. And they might go out, they might kill every once in a while one good song. You're like, yeah. But for the most part, you're watching Fat Axel. That's what the Warriors are at this point. Like, it's past its prime. It was great in your childhood. Leave it where it was. Like, I don't want to go sit in the crowd and watch this version of Madonna writhing around on stage while she sings like a virgin. It doesn't work for me. Like, it just, it's past, this is all past the point of watchability. That's where we are. Like, so what if the Warriors run it back? It's just not going to be what we want it to be anymore. So let's just let the damn thing go out to the field and be done.
Those are great analogies. So I have to ask then, before I ask you the playoff question, I have to ask, is there a group that has been touring now for 30, 40, 50 years that has gone back out on the road that you think is not as good as when they were young, but you're like, wow, they're not, you know, Fat Axel or, you know, an aging Madonna slithering on the floor. Is there a group that you think, wow, they're really good?
No, I think the Stones have meant, like, look, the way that the Stones have done it, I think you have to be a certain type of performer, like Billy Joel, unquestionably. Like, you'll still go see Billy Joel, yeah, doesn't matter. Like, I would still go see Elton John. Like, I think guys like that. But when you talk about running around on stage and entertaining, I think the Rolling Stones are that. Like, I would actually be super into seeing the Aerosmith farewell tour at this point. Like, I'm not sure how it'll sound, but at least those guys still have sort of that kick, that energy in them. So not everybody does. But yeah, I think some of those rock stars have it.
Wasn't a rock star group for us, but my wife and I went and saw America, and those guys are like 70, and they were phenomenal. I mean, they sounded like they were in their 30s, and they had great stories. It was very cool. It's cool when you get a situation like that. All right, our situation in the NBA, the playoffs now, after tonight, we'll have all our seeds. But do you see a first round, or what's your biggest first round upset if you have one?
I don't really have a first round upset. I mean, look, okay, so here's the thing.
Really?
In the East, yeah, I mean, I know everybody's trying to figure out some manufactured way that we're going to have some chaos. But if you look at it, I think we've disrespected a little bit of Oklahoma City because of their age. I think we've just realized, we've forgotten the fact that the Nuggets have been in cruise control for the majority of the season, right? So, like, the Nuggets don't really have to press because they know when they need to press. and they're still as good as they are. So I have a hard time betting against the Nuggets in this process. Like I said earlier, I absolutely am not going to bet against the Celtics. So I guess if we think that, you know, seeing a team like the Knicks lose, like, feels like it's a little bit of an upset, there could be some chaos in the East maybe, but I don't know. It's just all sorts of feels like, for the most part, a lot of these teams that we were talking about on the last day of the season, oh my God, the seeding is in a wild situation. What was it? 11 of 15 games had playoff seeding implications going into the final day of the NBA season. So I have a hard time calling it an upset when one game could have made a difference between being a 2 seed or a 4 seed. And, you know, we end up with weird situations where Cleveland ends up where they are. Like, so I think a lot of this has just been jam packed. I think it'll be exciting series, but are heavy favorites going in are heavy favorites for a reason this year. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to call, I think a couple, by seeding. I mean, I get what you're saying about how close everything is, but, you know, I'm going by seedings. Just like in the NCAA tournament, I don't really consider an 8-9 that, just like I probably wouldn't do that in a 4-5, and the 2 4-5s are what, Cleveland and Orlando and the Clippers and the Mavericks. But I do think either the 2 and or the 3 in the East are going to lose. I think Philadelphia, as long as Embiid can, though he looked like he was sucking a lot of wind playing 38 minutes, that one may be tough depending on his health. Unbeating the Knicks, who are a hot team right now. But Milwaukee, they've never gotten it together. They've never gotten the continuity with their big three there. Now Giannis is hurt, and the Pacers have beaten them, 4 times this year. So I think either the Knicks and the Bucks or one of those teams is going to lose.
The Bucks one is interesting because, let's face it, like, their defense has been absolute trash all year long. And I think the Bucks, we talked about the expectations for the Warriors. The expectations for the Bucks have been just grossly underwhelming compared to what we expected. Coming up, though, we got group projects to get into in the NFL draft coming up next.
All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Had a little bit of a quarterback party. Instead of just hosting a quarterback at a time, they decided to bring Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, and skip over a few to Michael Penix Jr. all at the same time, sort of Tuesday, Wednesday. In addition, overall, it was like a 30-dude sleepover, pretty much, and they were getting a lot of backlash for this tactic. Sort of weird, but GM Adam Peter says it's all good, man.
With all these guys, they all know each other really well, and so what was cool is while we got to see them all together in a group setting at the Top Golf, which was really fun, and I think everybody had a great time, and it was very beneficial to see everybody in a more relaxed environment. They all got a lot of time individually with their coaches, with us, you know, where they were staggered coming in too, so it wasn't like they were sitting in a room together. They all had their own individual time with everybody, so it worked out really well. And then you got a great blend of that, and then working everybody together, you know, in a fun environment.
Top Golf sounds fun, Senior. What do you think of this strategy?
Well, first off, I know we're very good friends with a guy. When Top Golf started, he was asked to be one of the initial investors, and he thought it was a bad idea and didn't do it. Anytime I pass a Top Golf, I text him and I say, "Parking lot's full."
Send a selfie.
But first off, that is a fun place to go. I love that place. I think it's fantastic. But to me, Fitz, I mean, I and Peters, when he was with the 49ers, said they did this before, you know, so he is used to this. Others have said they've never really seen it done this way. To me, it would almost feel like a Bachelor or Bachelorette episode when you have, right in the beginning, when you have so many people, right? You're gonna sit around, you're going to say, as you heard them there, everybody got their one-on-one time. Did they? Did everybody? You're going to be like, I didn't get as much time as him. Am I getting one-on-one time? How much time did he get? We got to see this guy. Who do I get to see? Do I get to see the assistant coach or the head coach? Who am I getting to visit? I think it would be unbelievably hectic to try and see if you're accomplishing anything doing this.
Yeah, maybe, but I love it. So first thing I thought of was the same thing. Like, I want them all in the room at once. I want them in a conference room. I come in with the rose, and I'm like, only one of y'all's getting this, and it's an expensive rose, right? Like, let's just narrow it down to that. But also, for everybody that's freaking out about this, two things. I think it's a smart point that, look, people know where the visits are going to be anyway, so who cares? But two, if right. you're thinking of taking a quarterback at number two overall, and you have to worry about whether or not it hurts his feelings to see the other quarterbacks in the yeah. room that are being interviewed, you might not have the right quarterback. Like, you know this better than any of us as a former player. But one thing we hear about a lot in the draft process is teams like to make you uncomfortable, because when they make you uncomfortable, they get a better sense of who you are in those moments, and that you sort of knocks off some of the armor. We see that in interviews. Like, the reason I did an interview with Max Crosby where I got a tattoo is because we both got tattoos. While you're getting tattoos, like, it knocks off some of the finish on a quarterback. So if you can make a quarterback uncomfortable in the room, you get a better version of him. This actually, I think, is a really smart strategy. Hey, let's knock all of the walls down. Let's get real answers from guys. And if they're uncomfortable, or they're soft, or their ego's hurt because somebody else is there, like, who gives a damn? Like, this is such a small part of the analysis. I don't know, Mike, why people are freaking out about it.
I am so with you on when we would talk about young quarterbacks or young players, but it's mostly young quarterbacks. Well, you don't want to do anything to affect their psyche. Well, I've said if this affects their psyche, I may not want them around. You know, I'm not, you know, at this point, I want you a little more mentally tough than that, whether it's something on the field or as you're talking about here. Maybe it's also they just wanted to it's like recruiting trips. They just wanted to do it all in one weekend, so they had the other times to, you know, more time for themselves. They have said that they're not looking to move down. They're looking to make the pick at two. I know it's lying season and all that, but I think everybody expects them to make that pick at two. And, you know, for a long time, you know, Fitzy, you obviously cover college football. It was Drake May, Drake May, Drake May, and then it changed to Jaden Daniels. Who do you think it's going to be, and who do you think it should be?
I think it should be Jaden Daniels. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but I'll tell you this. Like, one thing that Charles Robinson, the Yahoo NFL insider, has told me repeatedly is that there are people within that organization that even before lying season made it clear that they thought JJ McCarthy was the best quarterback on the board. And I'm not saying I would take JJ. I'm saying that I've talked to enough people that think that there are real legs to JJ at number two. Doesn't make sense to me. I think this is a little bit of a crapshoot. I also don't understand why you're being so secretive. Like, we all know Caleb's going one, and the team is saying clearly right. they're not interested in trading down. They're not interested in trading down. Then, like, you don't have to make this dog and pony show. Just, like, tell everybody what you want to do.
Plus, I always love when I hear when you hear the reports, yeah, the team's not even sure, and they may not be sure till draft day what they're going to do with that pick. BS. They know exactly what they're going to do with that pick. When you're picking that high, you know, if you're still deciding at this point, that may be an issue you have as opposed to who you're going to take. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels as well. What an incredible player he is. I have said time and time again, I think Michael Penix, he's not getting drafted that high, but Michael Penix, who may be on your team, which we'll get into in the Raiders, I think he could end up being the best quarterback out of this draft. We'll get into that. But Claudio, we think the top two are set. But at number three, again, it's lying season, but not shocking to see the Patriots open for business.
I want to talk about my Patriots. You know I want to talk about my Patriots getting better, knock on wood. But quickly, I do want to say, when you talked about Jaden Daniels, it sounds like it makes the most sense. The sports books have him as the favorite to go number two overall at -130 at DraftKings. Interesting, though, with this whole conversation about the quarterback visit, Jaden Daniels' agent retweeted a video where Mike Florio was sort of criticizing the whole thing, and he did the thinking emoji. So that's very very interesting. Senior, I want to get your quick take on that first. Are you going to read into that? Because I know you love social media. Or are you just going to throw that one out?
No, no, okay. No, don't even bring me into that. Absolutely not.
Fence
I don't know what half the emojis mean or what they're used for. We still haven't. I can't believe in this day and age nobody has come up with a sarcasm emoji because nobody ever gets sarcasm on Twitter. So, no, I'm not reading into anything, Claudia, because it's lying season. So I believe and see nothing.
Well, Fitz, listen, if you're Jaden Daniels, too, and you're hearing everybody saying this is the spot you're supposed to go, then you're the bachelorette who thinks you're supposed to be getting the rose, right? And is this weird that his agent did it? It feels weird to me.
No, agents have one job, and that is to make their clients a ton of money. Like, an agent, if Jaden had tweeted about it, then maybe I would feel some kind of way, but that's only Caleb likes to get into those Twitter fights. And by the way, getting on those Twitter fights isn't keeping Caleb out of the number one spot, so.
Yeah,
no, fair enough. No, it's not. It's absolutely not.
All right.
I wonder.
Yeah, go ahead, Senior.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we can start Patriots and bring it into the next block unless you guys want to talk more about Daniels and Twitter drama and social media.
No. I definitely looking at the Patriots. I'm wondering, as you look at the Patriots talking about trading, Jason, if you think that's going to be the first team to trade, or all we hear is how Minnesota is going to jump up to 5 to take a quarterback, do you think the Patriots start off this trade?
Well, look, I hope the Patriots start off the trade. I'm going to say this in a way that Claudia is not going to like to hear, but I think the Patriots have arguably one of the worst rosters in the NFL this year.
Oh, I know.
They're in complete rebuild mode. So knowing that they're in complete rebuild mode, the hard part is, what do they do when you can't really win in the modern NFL without a great quarterback, but also you put that great quarterback on this Patriots roster, that great quarterback is not going to be in a great situation for the first couple of years. I think if the Patriots decide that the right move is to trade, then they're going to get a king's ransom for that. The Vikings and Field Yates, our friend at ESPN, tweeted out the other day that the Vikings 2 first rounders is not going to be enough to move up. It's going to take another first rounder. I also had somebody at the Super Bowl tell me that the Raiders were very prepared to offer 3 first rounders if it meant that they got to Jaden Daniels. So if the flavor of ice cream that a team loves is there at 3, I think the Patriots can get a king's ransom, Mike, 100%.
Boy, that's the big question is, and I guess it comes down to, and I've always said this, if you don't have a quarterback rated that high, if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are going to be gone, and the next quarterback you have rated isn't of third pick value, then you probably got to move down, even though that's the position you've got to fill. That's a position you have to get it right, and we know they have not gotten it right since Tom Brady has left.
I know. In this vein, Mike, I'll ask you this when we come back, because there are a couple of scenarios here with the quarterback situation that could make all of this very complicated. We'll break it down as we continue to look at the quarterbacks in the NFL draft next.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. So whether you're bought in on Heat culture at this point or think the Boston Celtics can survive a bump in the road, we got options for you. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code GOJO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code GOJO only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to Gojo and Golic, DraftKings Network. All right, Mike, we were just talking about quarterbacks, and I have to get your thoughts on this. I'm Jason Fitz, by the way. If you're tuning in, I forgot to tell you that. Golic, we were just talking about possible trades, right, in this scenario, in this situation. Here's what's interesting to me about quarterbacks. Everybody has their own flavor of ice cream, right? And so what's going to happen is if a king's ransom, and I believe it would truly take a king's ransom to move up to three, is offered to the Patriots, people are going to question it. But I go back to what the Bills GM said earlier this year, where, hey, if you trade everything and you get the guy, nobody's going to care. If you get it wrong, you're going to get fired. The interesting thing about this year is not every team agrees on who the guy is. So you said earlier, like, if you don't believe you're the Patriots, you don't believe that the third best quarterback is right, then you should trade out. I believe there are teams that think Drake May is the best, that think Jaden Daniels is the best, that think, and that changes the whole equation, because sometimes what we do when we're covering the draft is we apply one logic without realizing, like, if you're the Vikings, the Broncos, or the Raiders, and your number one guy is sitting there, who gives a damn what you give up to go get them? You have to go do that. And that's the part of the draft board that we can't know, right? Like, the Broncos may value somebody differently, so they may be prepared to overpay for the fifth pick, you know? So that's why I feel like we have to throw the trade values out and really understand that whatever team moves up is moving up because they believe they can get their Mahomes.
1,000% agree. And listen, we've seen it backfire, right? We'd look at the 49ers when they moved up to three to take Trey Lance, gave up, you know, a bunch of picks for that, and that didn't work out. But I agree with you. If you believe that's your quarterback, if you believe that's the guy, then you trade, because you don't go anywhere. Now, he doesn't have to be one of the greatest of all time, but you have to have a really, really, really good to great quarterback to win in this league. You just do. So if you believe it's that guy, hey, that's what you got the job for, is to break stuff down and bring in the people that are going to help you win. And it can be questionable at times. How many times, well, we were in Nashville doing the draft when the Giants draft Daniel Jones. We were all like, what the hell? You know, and he gets a big payday, but I don't think his career is long with the Giants. He'll still be in the league, but, you know, I think they'll move on from it. But the Giants felt he was the guy. I go all the way back to, and I brought this up before, Jason, Ryan Tannehill, when he went 7 to the Dolphins, we were all like, wow, how is this happening? And I'll never forget Ron Jaworski on air saying, listen, it doesn't matter what we think. We can all have our own thoughts and break everything down, but it only matters what Miami thinks. Miami's grade of Tannehill was that. Now, sometimes teams have a grade and maybe reach a little for a quarterback because of the position, but you're 100% correct. If a team, that they'll all have different grades, and I've always said it comes down to what's that grade. If the grade isn't much of a difference, you can take either or, but if it is significant, then you will make a jump for that guy.
And keep in mind, I'll just plant this little seed for you. Adam Peters with the Commanders came from San Francisco. The quarterbacks that San Francisco had the most success with, Jimmy G, Brock Purdy. The one quarterback, not for any fault of anybody's, but the one quarterback they did not have success with, Trey Lance. What we don't know is what part of Peter's analysis went into any of those decisions. Because if you're looking at this year's quarterback class, it's pretty easy to see that Drake May, JJ McCarthy, stylistically are far closer to a guy like Jimmy G or a guy like Brock Purdy. And it's pretty easy to see that Jaden Daniels and the way he scrambles is pretty similar to Trey Lance, quarterback that Peters didn't have success with. So we'll just see. Lance, we'll get into more draft process throughout the course of the show, obviously, because, you know, I love talking about this. It's like a drug. But Claudia, there's also college basketball news and notes out there that we need to break down.
Yeah, the one and done rule. So basically play a year in college and then go to the NBA is something that happens in men's college hoops. But in women's, that's not the case. And I think a big conversation we had this year was the fact that everybody was talking about college hoops for the first time in a while. So Gina Auriemma, UConn's women's head coach, is saying if we change this one and done rule and make it happen so that it can be a thing in women's college hoop, it is going to destroy the program. And of course, there's a lot of back and forth on this. And if you're not up to date, right now, WNBA rules say that players are eligible to be selected in the WNBA draft upon graduating from college, 3 months of doing so, or in the calendar year that they turn 22. Auriemma had a lot to say about this on his ESPN radio appearance.
If you want to kill it, then let the kids leave after freshman year. Which is, on the men's side, it's become transactional. Okay, everybody's a free agent. Everybody's a mercenary. It's not the kids' fault. What helped the women's game grow is the people in Iowa got to grow up with Caitlin Clark. Mm. The people in Connecticut got to grow up with all my great players. There's something to be said for that.
Where is he wrong, Senior?
I understand what he's saying, but where I disagree is I don't think there's going to be this unbelievable trend for freshmen to leave for the WNBA for a couple of reasons. And first, I'd like to ask him to be very truthful about it. He's had some of the greatest college players of all time, right? I mean, you could just list them. I'd like to ask him, would any of them left after their freshman year? Were any of them good enough to go after their, maybe it had been good enough, but would they have left? And now let's add in, Jason, it takes time. You don't get handed NIL deals and even deals outside of NIL like Caitlin Clark got after your freshman year. So, and we all know about the salaries in the WNBA. Caitlin Clark's making $76,000, but we keep talking about the off-court money she's going to make. Well, freshmen aren't going to make that in the WNBA coming out 1 year from college into the WNBA. They're going to make that NIL money in college before they go to the WNBA. So I don't think all of a sudden you're going to get, and it's not just after 1 year, Jason. They could then leave after 2 years or after 3 years after they built something up. So from that point, and Gino said, I get it. You could see a player leaving after a couple of years, 2-3 years, and not get to grow with them. But overall, I don't think there's going to be this, oh my God, wait till you see the amount of players that leave now after their freshman year to hit the WNBA. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and I'm not sure the WNBA would even want to change the rules because, frankly, they love the fact that women's college basketball does the heavy lifting of making the stars. Like, the WNBA doesn't want to have to be in the star manufacturing business. They want to inherit stars and make the most of them. I get all of that. I don't disagree with the concept of what Coach is saying. The next time a coach comes out and says change is good will be the first time a coach says it. And I'm so tired of every single coach preaching the death of college sports. Like, the asinine part about this is look at the numbers, look at the TV number. And I'm not just talking about women's college basketball. Let's include college football in this conversation because everybody tells me college football is dying. TV numbers, record highs, right? Revenue, record highs. Coaching salaries, record highs. Like, everybody's making more money while everybody's watching more. College basketball across the board, men's and women's, set huge landmark numbers this year. We're looking at an NIL transfer portal world, and every single time I turn around, coaches are just saying, well, this is the death of the sport. It's not the college basketball I know. It's not the college football I know. I don't care because it's good, and because guess what? At the end of the day, people are flocking to watch it, and I think on shows like this, we're talking in the off season more about college sports than ever because of these systems that have been created. So I get what Gino's saying, but I'll also counter all of it and say, man, the level of attention that's happening right now, I have yet to see change in college sports that didn't turn out so far to be good. And everybody keeps telling me it won't. I don't buy it.
There has been big time change, and it has done nothing to damage the sport. Nothing. And you're right, the ones that complain the most are the coaches because it does affect them. It affects the way their job and what they have to do. But you know what? Tough. You know, you're getting paid a lot of money. And oh, by the way, you're getting paid a lot of money. And a year later, you can go somewhere else and get paid a lot more money if you want and get out of your contract. So, and normally somebody else is going to pick up the tab for that. So I'm with you. Will it be different? Yes. Will you figure out a way to deal with it? That's what you better do. It's you know, survive or don't, you know, or move on. So I do not think, just like most of the changes that have gone on, Jason, I do not think this is going to be the death of college basketball, of college sports. It's going to be different, and it still needs some guardrails, but it's still going to be around and viewed a long time.
And two things can be true. A coach like Saban can walk away because he doesn't want to deal with it, and he's got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. That's right for him. That doesn't mean the sport's about to die because of it. All right, we'll keep breaking it down, obviously, but it's Swifty Day. We've got all the Swift action you can handle next.
We are back here on Gojo and Golic to talk more about Taylor Swift because, duh, half the world didn't sleep last night. They pulled an all-nighter because she finally released her 11th studio album at midnight. And then at 2 a.m., she released another album of 15 additional songs named The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology. More drama, though. People actually leaked the tracks on social media, with some saying they came from a Google Drive link containing the whole 17 song list, so some Swifties listened. Others said that was shunned upon. They waited till midnight. Again, total respect to T-Swift. Clearly, she has a massive fan base. I would probably say half of the world, maybe even more so. Senior, I have to ask you, though, what would you pull an all-nighter for at this point? Would it be any album or anything? Because I just don't think I would anything.
I have said, outside of watching something of my kids or my family, there is nothing, no sporting event, no concert I would stand in line for. Nothing. I don't value it that enough. And this takes nothing away. I think Taylor Swift is an unbelievable, forgetting talent, just overall. I mean, she writes songs, sings. I mean, the show that she puts on, she is incredible, absolutely incredible. I don't know her. Seems like a good person. I love what's going on with her and Travis. Travis, I do know. I think that's a cool thing, but there isn't anything. And you don't have to anymore. I mean, Jason, we're these young kids, these young whippersnappers, I mean, make them stand in line at a record store, right? I mean, remember the day when you would stay out all night? I never did, but I know you. I'm sure you did.
Oh,
you
God,
were
yeah.
a music guy. I mean, I mentioned earlier, Jason played.
It was not just for records, right? Like, Mike, I mean, when Tower, like I said earlier, Tower Records was my thing, right? Like, so you would go line up at Tower Records the night before a record came out, because you want to get it first thing in the morning, which meant I was skipping school. Sorry, I skipped a lot of school. Still did fine. But then, like, concerts too, Mike. Like, I mean, now I know everybody complains about Ticketmaster. I get it. I get the problems and the situations. I remember camping out 3-4 days in advance of, like, all right, I'm sleeping in this sleeping bag, as I hit my microphone, I'm sleeping in this sleeping bag because I want to make sure that I have a shot at getting, because back then you couldn't even rely on the phones to get you through. So, like, you had to buy tickets at the box office, right? Like, and that was a real thing, but that was part of the, like, the whole vibe of it. So yeah, I mean, there were tons of acts when I was a kid, but I do think you reach, like, a life point where, I don't know, like, short of if the Raiders won a Super Bowl, I'd pull an all-nighter because I would be on one for like 3 days. I'd have to put a bunch of stuff in my body and we would just figure out how to make it for 3 straight days. Like, that would happen. But short of that, I can't imagine anything that I would actually stay up all night for.
Did you ever for an album or a concert? Did you ever when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, Bon Jovi. I was an 80s rock kid, right? Like, so I mentioned, like, Use Your Illusion, when that came out for Guns N' Roses. I remember sitting outside the record store. I remember Bon Jovi tickets in DC, in the DC area at the time. I camped out for those. That was a big deal. I didn't camp out for, but I went to high school with one of the guys in NSYNC, and I remember seeing the people that just were absolutely just outside of those stadiums for days waiting to get into it, right? Like, it was a much different. So I've been around that a lot in my life. It's just a different, I don't know, there's a different joy. I will say this, Claudia mentioned at the beginning, people leaked a bunch of these tracks. That is such an egregious, terrible, like, I know I'm going to get on my high horse for a minute, but the amount of work that goes in to making a record, and the amount of vulnerability that comes into putting your music out, knowing in a modern social media world that somebody's going to have something to say about every ounce of it, the amount of time you spend into it and the amount of care you put into it. If you talk to most musicians, they'll tell you that release day is full of angst, no matter who they are, because you've worked forever to put this project out and you want your name on it. If somebody is out there leaking that stuff in advance, shame on them, because not only are they taking away the control that the artist has in their own art, they're putting the artist in an anxiety situation they should never have to suffer over music that they're making to give the world. If you steal that from an artist, man, you are a type below that does not deserve to listen to the music that you've leaked.
Would artists ever have somebody leak their own music to make it, like, a bigger story? To put more attention
probably.
On it?
Probably. Like, the secret release. I could see that. Like, I could see some people doing that. Look, there are some people that are dumb for promo. Yeah.
Not all 17 songs, though. This was not T-Swift doing. I see what you're saying, Senior. But yeah, this.
Oh no,
was,
no. I also no, don't listen, think she does.
T-Swift doesn't need to do any tricks. Like, all she needs to do is say, like, release the record, and then she can go to the coffee shop. Yeah.
She literally just has to breathe. Yeah. And I do have to say, I totally understand the experience of it all. I always say that I wish I was born a far time ago. Not saying you guys were born that long ago, but you know what I mean.
No, that's exactly whatever. What you were saying. I mean,
whatever.
Heard that.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, kind of. Shamer. Go ahead. Because that was more of an experience. You could get snacks and not have to be on your phone finding the leaked music and hang out with your friends. I totally understand that. I would do that for Taylor Swift 10 times over. I'd probably do it for somebody I don't even like.
Well,
wait, Claudia, what was your first concert?
My first concert was Kenny Chesney when I was way young. Taking Back Sunday, which, like, I love that kind of music too, which that's, I'm like an emo boy band kind of girl, and that's probably why I like
just
Taylor
think Swift. The answer to what was your first concert is getting less and less cool. It really is. Like, that my first concert was Bon Jovi's Skid Row. Like that for, I know that's not all that cool. Mike, what was your first concert?
You know what? I honestly don't remember. I would say, if I had to guess, it was probably when I was a lifeguard where I grew up, and we would all go out together. We'd go to Blossom Music Center, and I'm going to say it was the Beach Boys.
Oh, that's
way back
cool.
When it was the Beach Boys.
See? There was a whole era where it was like the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, like all of these timeless, like, I don't know. I just think that in 30 years, if the answer is BTS, like nobody's going to be like, oh, wow, you saw BTS?
Yeah. Yeah. I got two things. First, Claudia, you know what Jason and I don't want to hear? Oh, I went to Kenny Chesney, you know, when I was young. You're 20, what, 7?
Yeah.
You're young, all right?
No, I was like
so
a
stop.
Child.
Stop with the young.
I feel like your first concert experience is when you can go and drink a beer and enjoy the music.
No,
appreciate it.
I'm just saying, I may have been either at that show or on that bill with some act. Like, I'm just saying, that's the age difference. Gonna, like, there's
exactly
a pretty
right.
good chance if it was 20 years ago, there's a pretty good chance that I was either there or had been there the day. Like, I mean, yes, that's a what, yeah.
Unbeknownst to you, Claudia, you were clapping for Jason Fitz at that point. By the way, Jason, when you said you would cut school, you went to Juilliard. I mean, an incredible school for music with some incredible stars. Is that the school you cut? Is that what
cutting? No. I didn't cut Juilliard for Bon Jovi tickets. That would have got me a lot of time. No, that was the public portion of school that I was cut. Like, I was a very dedicated student at Juilliard. I was not a very dedicated student in classes, although my grades were fine. I just, you know, everybody calm down. I may have not been the most focused student, to the surprise of no one when you listen to me try and read. I that doesn't surprise anybody.
They say that the most creative people though aren't they it's not necessarily that they're good in class. So I love that. That's crazy you went to Juilliard. That's amazing. Wow.
But I always excuse this, and this is where I think sometimes I love working with former athletes, because I knew what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and who I wanted to be when I was 4 years old. Like, there was never a question. Like, by the time I was 8, I knew I wanted to be a violinist. There was never a question. Every turn in my life where I had to make a decision between, you know, going out and doing this or staying home and practice, I made that decision. And when I got to a certain point in life, some things like, I don't know, chemistry and like calculus, my calculus teacher flat out looked at me and was like, man, you're a great musician and you are not good at this. So just don't do this. Right. Like That's fair though. Like, I was good at one thing, and that one thing I was really good at. That's why I like working with athletes, because I think we all share that.
So yeah, I mean, you're just like some of the greatest athletes in the world. Listen, in all honesty, you went to Juilliard for the violin. I mean, but I guess I'm gonna let you close this out by saying, is it weird that you were at this classical violin at Juilliard, and then but you're known as the fiddle player? Does that make you feel weird from the classical violin to the fiddle player from the band Perry?
I remember when we played the American Music Awards, and somebody afterwards said to my mom, "Was like, you must be so proud." And my mom was like, "Why would I be proud of that music?" Yeah, no, there's 100%. Like, I grew up a classical kid. There was never gonna be there was never a spot where it was like, man, playing the fiddle was not what anyone had in mind for. All right, we'll get back to sports. Everybody relax. The draft is a week away. We're going to break down some of the best of the beast next.